Imagine Microsoft paying millions of dollars to build, like, the perfect game, right? And then literally 24 hours before the entire world sees it, their own leadership just sets the code on fire.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened.
It's basically the greatest trailer that never aired. So imagine you are sitting at home, you're tuned in to one of the most highly anticipated gaming presentations of the year, just waiting for this historic reveal.
The hype is usually off the charts for these things.
Oh, absolutely.
Ugh.
And at the absolute last possible second, behind closed doors, someone pulls the plug.
Yeah.
And the screen just stays dark.
And, I mean, the whiplash across the industry was just immediate. You really don't just pull a cornerstone announcement from a major broadcast like that without, you know, fundamentally altering the relationship between the two biggest companies in entertainment.
Definitely not.
It was this massive, sudden structural collapse of a strategy that had honestly been building for years at that point.
Which is exactly why we are taking a deep dive today into a pretty explosive 2026 article from Tekin. It's titled, The Great Xbox Veto Resurrecting the Console Wars.
It's a really fantastic piece of journalism.
It really is. And our mission with this deep dive, looking at the sources we have today, is to unpack the financial, the psychological, and I guess the strategic mechanics behind Microsoft's sudden and highly aggressive strategy shift in the console wars.
Right.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because understanding how one single veto trailer completely rewrote the trajectory of a multi-billion dollar industry, well, it requires looking at what exactly was supposed to be in that video file.
Yeah, to really gauge the shockwaves, we have to isolate the event itself. This was the autumn Sony State of Play,
right,
which is, you know, Sony's premier showcase for the upcoming holiday season. And the asset that Xbox unilaterally pulled a day before broadcast, it wasn't just some minor indie title or a cryptic teaser trailer.
Not at all.
It was a full-length premiere trailer for Halo Campaign Evolved, running natively on the PlayStation 5.
Wow. And the gravity of that just cannot be overstated. Since, what, 2001, Master Chief hasn't just been a character holding an assault rifle.
Exactly.
He is the foundational architecture of the Xbox brand. He is basically the mascot of Redmond's resistance against PlayStation's market dominance.
Yeah, absolutely.
For over two decades, if you saw that green armor, you were looking at the very definition of Xbox.
What's fascinating here is the psychological warfare of brand identity. Because from a pure marketing standpoint, putting Master Chief on a PlayStation 5 is the psychological equivalent of Microsoft just raising a white flag.
Wow. Yeah, I could see that.
It is surrendering the nucleus of their brand to their biggest rival. It sends a subconscious signal to the consumer, and honestly, more importantly, to the market, that owning an Xbox console is no longer a prerequisite for experiencing the most sacred universe Microsoft owns.
I was trying to visualize the mechanics of a move like this while reading the article, and the best analogy I could come up with is imagine McDonald's spending tens of millions of dollars to produce this cinematic, beautifully shot commercial for the Big Mac.
Okay, yeah.
But instead of airing it on standard television, they pay a massive premium to air it exclusively on a television channel owned and operated entirely by Burger King.
Right, right.
You aren't just advertising at that point. You are paying to drive foot traffic directly into your competitor's ecosystem. You're using your absolute most valuable asset to subsidize their infrastructure.
And beyond subsidizing their infrastructure, you're effectively telling your own loyal customers that the competitor's venue is actually the preferred place to consume your premium product.
Exactly.
It devalues your original restaurant entirely.
But the timeline of this veto is what really trips me up.
Yeah.
Because if we look at the Tekin dossier, they had already signed all the initial distribution agreements.
Oh, yeah. It was far along.
Right. Microsoft's marketing department had securely transferred the high byte rate video assets to Sony's production team 3 full weeks prior to the broadcast.
Yeah.
Sony was fully integrating this footage into their run of show.
Yeah.
You don't just trip over a power cord and accidentally unplug a collaboration of that magnitude. Someone had to intentionally smash the glass and pull the emergency exit clause.
Well, because the reversal wasn't an administrative error, you know. It was an emergency brake pulled by a brand new driver who had just taken a look at some truly terrifying telemetry on the dashboard.
Oh, wow.
The executives who originally championed the PlayStation porting strategy, they were simply no longer the ones standing at the helm.
Right, because the era of Phil Spencer was officially over. And the era of Asha Sharma had begun.
Exactly.
And to understand the sheer velocity of this whiplash, we really have to look at the massive shift in corporate culture between the previous head of Xbox and the new CEO.
It's a night and day difference.
It really is. Phil Spencer spent years cultivating this very specific gamer-first persona. He was the executive in the graphic tees and the Blazers who championed a play-anywhere philosophy. His administration really pushed the idea that the walls needed to come down, which is exactly how games like Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush ended up crossing enemy lines onto the PlayStation Network in the first place.
Yeah, his underlying thesis was all about ecosystem ubiquity. It was this idea that software sales across literally any platform would eventually outweigh the need for a dedicated proprietary hardware box.
Right.
But Asha Sharma, she operates on a completely different frequency. She is a rigorous, highly analytical executive directly appointed by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella to execute what she herself termed a business reset.
And when you look at the dashboard data she was staring down upon taking over, I mean, you can clearly see why a reset was ordered. The numbers outlined in the Ticken article are absolutely brutal.
They're staggering.
Xbox hardware sales in regions like Europe and Asia, they weren't just experiencing a slight dip. They were in absolute freefall. Retailers were actively shrinking shelf space because the demand simply vanished.
And that year-over-year drop is a profound vulnerability for a tech giant. Just look at the fiscal trajectory here. Xbox hardware revenue sat at $3.2 billion in 2024.
Okay.
By the time Sharma takes the reins, it was projecting a catastrophic crash down to $2.3 billion by 2026.
Wow.
That is an 18% hemorrhaging of hardware revenue in a shockingly compressed time frame.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because I have to push back on the logic of her reset just a bit.
Okay, sure.
I am looking at these sliding hardware numbers, yes.
Yep.
But I'm also looking at the massive influx of cash from Spencer's Play Anywhere strategy.
Right, the software sales.
Exactly. Putting a game like Sea of Thieves on the PlayStation 5 was wildly lucrative. Microsoft was selling millions of copies of software to Sony's massive install base of, what, 60 million users?
Yep, around 60 million.
So turning your back on that ocean of short-term software revenue, it almost feels like corporate malpractice.
Yeah.
Why turn off a faucet that is actively pouring money right into your division?
Look, it definitely looks counterintuitive on a quarterly spreadsheet, certainly, but you have to examine the foundational long-term economics of a closed platform.
Okay.
Short-term software sales on a rival console, yeah, they provide an immediate cash injection. But that same strategy actively hollows out the unique selling proposition, the USP of the Xbox hardware itself.
Meaning it destroys the single compelling reason a consumer has to actually buy the physical box in the first place.
Exactly the issue. The physical console in your living room is essentially a loss leader. Microsoft and Sony often sell the actual hardware at a loss or at best with razor-thin margins.
Right.
The entire business model relies on getting that box under your television so you buy into the broader ecosystem. You know, paying for subscription services, buying digital accessories, and giving the platform holder a 30% cut of every third-party game you purchase.
I see.
If you tell consumers, hey, don't worry, our absolute best games will eventually be playable on your PlayStation anyway, you vaporize the primary incentive to enter the Xbox ecosystem.
Because you are actively training the consumer to wait.
Precisely.
If they know Master Chief will eventually show up on the system they already own, they will never buy the $500 Xbox. The hardware sales wouldn't just decline, they would flatline completely, and the ecosystem just dies with it.
Which brings us to Sharma's new uncompromising mandate. Xbox will not devolve into a mere third-party software publisher for Sony and Nintendo.
Period.
Period. To stop the hardware bleeding, she committed Microsoft to releasing a minimum of 2 top-tier, absolutely uncompromised AAA exclusive games every single year.
But implementing a rigid mandate like that, especially when the massive machinery of game development had already spent 2 years moving in the exact opposite direction, that means you have to violently dismantle projects that were already being built for the enemy camp.
Right. And corporate strategy rarely interfaces cleanly with the messy reality of software engineering. The most devastating casualty of this philosophical pivot was the highly anticipated PlayStation 5 port of Gears of War E-Day.
Reading the details of this cancellation in the dossier is just staggering.
It really is.
The developers at the Coalition had already spent months deep in the weeds, heavily adapting the game's core code base to run smoothly on Sony's architecture. And Sharma just mandated a complete and total cessation of work.
Just pulled the plug.
They just dropped their tools and walked away from millions of dollars of labor.
Well, to understand why a data-driven CEO would burn millions of dollars in sunk development costs, you really have to look at the engineering bottleneck of cross-platform development.
The analogy that helps me map this out is, imagine you have a world-class engineering team tasked with building a record-breaking Formula One car.
Okay, I like this.
Right. But midway through development, management tells the team the car also has to be street legal so it can be driven to the grocery store.
Right, of course.
Suddenly, you have to compromise the entire design. You have to raise the suspension to handle speed bumps. You put on harder, slower tires, add heavy turn signals and emissions equipment.
Yeah.
It becomes a decent car for the road, sure, but it loses its ability to absolutely dominate the track.
Exactly.
Sharma essentially looked at the Gears of War team and said, stop compromising the design. Tune this machine exclusively for our track and break every single speed record, even if it means 90% of the world never gets to drive it.
That maps perfectly to the technical reality of the Xbox Velocity architecture. Developing Gears of War E-Day simultaneously for the PlayStation 5 meant the Coalition was inherently building a street-legal car.
Right.
They had to standardize their game engine so it wouldn't break when navigating the different memory pipelines of Sony's system. By canceling the PS5 port, Sharma just removed the speed bumps entirely.
Oh, wow.
She ordered the developers to push the raw compute power of the Xbox Series X to its absolute theoretical maximum.
Which means leveraging the raw mathematical muscle of the consoles. I mean, we are talking about utilizing the 12 teraflops of the Series X against the 10.28 teraflops of the PlayStation 5.
And we should probably clarify what a teraflop actually does in this context, because it's really not just marketing jargon.
Yeah, please do.
A teraflop measures how many trillions of floating point calculations the console's processor can execute every single second.
Trillions.
Yes. That difference of 1.7 teraflops, it might sound minor on paper, but in the realm of high-end rendering, it is the computational horsepower required to calculate complex physical realities rather than just faking them.
It's the difference between painting a shadow on the ground and simulating the actual behavior of light.
Exactly.
Which is why the dossier heavily emphasizes Unreal Engine 5 features like ray tracing and volumetric lighting. Because ray tracing physically simulates every individual beam of light bouncing off mud, water, and armor in real time. And volumetric lighting means the fog and smoke in a scene physically react to that light, scattering it naturally. You just cannot maximize those intensely heavy physics calculations if you are forcing your engine to also run smoothly on a mathematically weaker machine.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of the console wars, exclusive titles have historically served as the definitive tool for demonstrating raw hardware supremacy.
Like Sony did for years.
Exactly. Sony executed this masterfully for a decade with visually stunning exclusives like God of War and The Last of Us. Microsoft's intent here is to replicate that strategy by turning Gears of War E-Day into a mandatory, uncompromised tech demo.
They basically want you to walk into an electronics store, look at a massive screen playing Gears of War, see lighting and physics that look indistinguishable from reality, and just realize your current console simply cannot compute what you were looking at.
Yeah, it is the ultimate expression of the walled garden approach.
Yeah.
You build an attraction so breathtaking that the consumer really has no choice but to pay the admission fee at the gate.
But building that uncompromised attraction, you know, funding the research and development for an exclusive Formula One car, it costs an absolute fortune.
Oh, absolutely.
And by intentionally locking the gates and refusing to sell tickets to half of the global gaming audience, Microsoft is engaging in what the tech and dossier accurately labels a high-stakes gamble.
It is arguably the most precarious economic gamble in modern entertainment history, primarily because of the sheer scale of the capital involved.
Let's run the macroeconomic math on this.
Yeah.
Because the cost of manufacturing a AAA video game in 2026 is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, the numbers are huge.
The sources state that these development budgets are now routinely ranging between $200 million and $350 million.
Right.
If you are spending $350 million to develop one single game, basic math dictates you need to sell millions of copies at full price just to break even.
Mm-hmm.
But Sharma has just intentionally barricaded the gates against 60 million PlayStation 5 owners.
Yeah.
You've literally cut your potential customer base in half. So how does Microsoft actually pay for the parts?
Mm-hmm. Well, the financial burden is forcefully shifted onto their subscription service. By intentionally blockading the massive PS5 demographic, the pressure to recoup those colossal development deficits falls almost entirely onto Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, wow.
The service must acquire and retain enough monthly subscribers to independently float $250 million game budgets.
A subscription service carrying the weight of Hollywood blockbuster budgets on its back.
Yeah.
It is no wonder Wall Street analysts are looking at this pivot with severe apprehension, because the article points out that Microsoft gaming investors are currently registering a state of extreme fear on the market sentiment index.
Unsurprising, honestly.
Right. They're staring at a spreadsheet where the highly lucrative software revenue column from Sony was just abruptly slashed to zero, leading to, you know, deep anxieties over contracting profit margins.
And whenever a corporate giant intentionally creates a massive revenue deficit to serve a long-term strategic goal, they inevitably have to artificially balance the books in the short term just to appease terrified shareholders.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the devastating human cost of the business reset.
Because corporate resets always roll downhill.
Always.
According to the leaked internal documentation in the dossier, Microsoft is bracing for a massive wave of layoffs slated for July 2026.
Yeah.
They're projecting the termination of over 1,500 employees. And the rumors suggest this isn't just trimming administrative or marketing redundancies, right? This restructuring includes the complete shuttering of at least one underperforming development studio.
It is a harsh and brutal mechanism. The developers who spend years crunching to build these digital worlds, they are the ones paying the physical price for executive strategy shifts.
Yeah.
Sharma is fortifying Microsoft for a grueling, protracted war of attrition in the upcoming 10th console generation, and she is doing it by aggressively downsizing her own infantry.
They are literally sacrificing their own development studios to pay for the bricks to build the walls of the garden higher.
Yeah. This raises an important question regarding the external consequences of those walls going up. Because the internal bleeding is severe, sure, but the diplomatic fallout across the Pacific is equally profound. Just consider the reality of the timeline we discussed earlier.
Right, invoking the emergency exit clause and pulling the Halo trailer literally 24 hours before the broadcast goes live to millions of people.
Exactly. Sony executives were left completely scrambling. They had to restructure the pacing and lineup of a major, highly scrutinized autumn showcase with literally zero notice.
That's a nightmare.
It is. And while Sony has refrained from issuing a combative public statement, the internal leaks confirm that this maneuver deeply fractured relations between the senior leadership of both corporations.
I bet.
This level of sudden unilateral disruption, it jeopardizes the potential for any future cross-industry collaborations or technology sharing.
So the diplomatic truce established during the Phil Spencer era is effectively dead and buried, which honestly brings this entire massive multi-billion dollar corporate drama right back to your living room. Because why should you, the listener, care about boardrooms in Redmond and Tokyo fighting over video assets and architectural code bases?
Right.
Well, because if you are someone who engages with this medium, the era of corporate smiles and cross-platform harmony has officially ended. The battle lines have been completely redrawn.
Yeah. The consumer is no longer insulated from the corporate strategy. The walls are up and they are incredibly thick.
Your choice of hardware matters more today than it has in over a decade. If you want to step into the boots of Master Chief, or if you want to see Marcus Fenix pushing the boundaries of Unreal Engine 5 physics, you have no choice but to invest in the Xbox ecosystem.
Yeah.
But you should also brace your wallet. Because to cover those massive $350 million exclusive budgets without the financial cushion of Sony's player base, industry analysts are universally projecting a steep price hike for the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription.
It's inevitable.
You, the consumer, are the one who will ultimately subsidize the cost of this corporate war.
The cost of the walled garden is always passed directly to the person trying to walk through the gate.
It is an unavoidable economic reality. And that leaves us with one final lingering thought I want you to mull over as we wrap up today.
Okay.
We've unpacked the terrifying dashboard data, the brutal cancellations, and the massive billion-dollar gamble Asha Sharma is taking to save the Xbox hardware.
Yeah.
But what if the math simply doesn't work?
Right.
If this fiercely protective high-stakes strategy fails to move the needle, if these uncompromised, beautiful, exclusive tech demos simply aren't enough to convince the masses to buy a new box and cover those $350 million budgets, could this aggressive hardware-first reset actually backfire?
Wow.
Could we be looking at a rapidly approaching future where the Xbox Series X is the very last physical console Microsoft ever manufactures?
It is the existential question hovering like a storm cloud over the entire interactive entertainment industry right now.
It fundamentally changes how you view the machine sitting under your television. So the next time you're watching a presentation, waiting for a historic announcement, and the screen suddenly goes dark. Just remember, there might be a $3 billion war being waged right behind the monitor. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you, and we'll see you next time.